हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः। हरिः ॐ ॐ श्रीमहागणपतये नमः। ॐ गणानां त्वा गणपतिं हवामहे, कविं कवीनामुपमश्रवस्तमम् तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। सो इन दिस कठोपनिषद वी हैव सीन द 12 मंत्रास। द 11th मंत्र व्हेन आई एक्सप्लेन एज वेल वी बी रीडूइंग द सेम बुक विद द भाष्यम, सो इट बिकम मच क्लियरर। आई सेड the Moola Grantham we are doing first. Some people asked for some doubts in the 9th mantra. So let me make it very clear before I go to the present class. Na sandrushe tishthati rupamasya na chakshusha pasyati kascha nainam hridamanesha manasa bhiklipto yayetad viduramrutaste bhavanti. So repeatedly, one fact is emphatically presented. Mokshaha is only in the wake of knowledge of the truth. There's no way of freeing oneself without having the clear vision of one's own self. Because the problem is centered on I. Whatever we do, leaving the problem aside, anything else we do will not solve the problem because problem is centered on I. For which the I sense has to be resolved. So having the I sense resolved means seeing oneself being non-separate from Paramatma, seeing oneself as the truth. One's own Swarupam, being the truth, must become very clear. When this vision happens, that one's own Swarupam being truth becomes very clear, then one can see how one's own self is non-separate from the whole Ishvara. And that is how I sense can be resolved. This cognitive resolution of I can happen. When I sense is cognitively resolved, then what a person enjoys is nothing but moksha. Moksha is not something to be attained. We know this very well. Repeatedly, this fact has been said again and again and again. So that's what the mantra says. Ye etad viduhu, te amrutaha bhavanti. Ye etad viduhu. People who discover this truth as their own swarupam, te amrutaha bhavanti. They become immortal. They become immortal means they become free from bondage of samsara. They claim immortality being their own swarupam. But how it is said, when, how do they understand, how do they arrive at the truth? That is said here, manasa, manisha, hrida, abhikliptaha bhavati. So, when Atma becomes revealed, abhikliptaha, the word abhikliptaha, actually, it's a participle. Abhikliptaha means Atma becomes revealed. Where is Atma becomes revealed? Atma becomes revealed when the knowledge takes place. Because knowledge brings, first knowledge of the book brings the book to light. Book becomes revealed when knowledge of the book takes place. Knowledge of flower reveals the flower. So knowledge should happen, then that knowledge of that object should happen, then that object becomes revealed. Here, the knowledge of the self happens, then the self becomes revealed. So actually, even though self is not an object of knowledge, because still knowledge of the self has to happen, as the Swarupam of the knower, then that knowledge of the self happens, Atma becomes revealed. நாட் ஆஸ் அன் ஆப்ஜெக்ட் பட் ஆஸ் ஒன்ஸ் ஓன் ஸ்வரூபம். ஸோ ஆத்மா அபிக்ளிப்தா பவதி, ஆத்மா பிகம்ஸ் ரிவீல்டு. அண்ட் ஹவு மனசா, சி மனசா ஹியர் த வேர்ட் மனஹா ஆக்சுவலி மீன்ஸ் இன் திஸ் கான்டெக்ஸ்ட் த வேர்ட் மனஹா டஸ் நாட் மீன் தி ஆக்சுவல் மைண்ட். So the manas, manas here in this context, that is why the, in this particular mantra, all the words give completely different meaning. The manaha does not mean the very mind. Manaha here means the clear vision. Doubt-free, clear vision is mana, inner vision. Doubt-free, clear, inner vision is meant by the word manaha. That is why confusion, okay? What is the word manaha mean? Manaha in this context means doubt-free, clear, inner vision. Why it's inner vision, not external vision? Because the knowledge of the reality is actually happens only in the mind. Therefore, we say it's inner vision. Inner vision, insight, clear, doubt-free, inner vision is manaha. And when it happens, manasa, so by that clear inner vision which happens, the Atma becomes revealed. And where does it happen? In the intellect only. So what is that intellect here? The word intellect also is meant by, and meant by another word here. Is it manit? Manit is there. Manisha is a third case form of the word manit. Why? Here, manit means intellect. Why manit means intellect? Because manaha ishte iti manit. Intellect is the master of the mind. Intellect is superior to the mind. Therefore, intellect is said to be manit. Ishte means rules. The ruler of the mind, master of the mind, lord of the mind. Here we say in this context is intellect. So, manit. So, Manisha is for Manisha, Manasa, Abhikluptaha Bhavati. Okay. So, this Atma becomes revealed when the clear, doubt-free inner vision takes place in the intellect, which is, intellect is meant by the word Manish, Manisha. Manisha is a third case form of, in fact, Manit. We should take it in the sense of seventh case. And where is that intellect? The, what is the golakam for intellect? It's the hrud, physical heart. So, hrida, manisha, manasa, atma, abhikluptaha bhavati. That sentence means, atma becomes revealed when the clear, doubt-free inner vision takes place in the intellect obtaining in the physical heart. This is the meaning. Some people ask for the clarification. I've explained that to you. Is it clear? We're still not clear. Don't worry. We'll be doing the Bhashyam anyway. That time again I'll be explaining. Well, of course, it is very well known. Because always we when we people want to have experience, I want to have self-experience, I want to have spiritual experience. And I for that for experiencing self, I want to practice meditation. When people say all this, their efforts, they do make efforts, but improper efforts. And the very aim is they're trying to somehow catch hold of Atma as an object of experience. That is why they fail. So here that mantra makes it very clear. Yenam kaschana. Chakshusha na pashyati. Chakshusha na pashyati does not see through physical eyes means definitely Atma is not available for any experience. If you are waiting for any spiritual experience, we can have some experiences on our own, inexplicable experiences one can have, and which can be proved, which cannot be proved also, which can be disproved by others also. Like just as your dream cannot be disproved by others, you cannot prove your dream. So also you can have some experiences. But still, when you have such experiences, make it a point. Be very clear. It is not Atma Jnanam. It will not liberate you. Okay? That is what is emphasized in this mantra. For moksha, which is a choiceless end, for which you need only jnanam, which is your own Swarupa jnanam. That is revealed by that ninth mantra. Eighth mantra we have seen already. Now let us move on to the present class, where we left last. We have seen the 12th mantra, 13th mantra, which we are going to see today. Asti tevopalabdhavyastatvabhavena chobhayoh. Asti tevopalabdhavyastatvabhavena chobhayoh. Asti tevopalabdhasya tattvabhavah prasidati. Asti tevopalabdhavyastatvabhavena chobhayoh. I'm repeating the sentence. Asti tevopalabdhavyastatvabhavena chobhayoh. Asti tevopalabdhavyasya tattvabhavah prasidati. Here, asti iti yeva upalabdhavyaha. Asti ityeva upalabdhavyaha. Tattvabhavena cha ubhayoho. Asti ityeva upalabdhavyasya tattvabhavaha prasidati. Okay. So here, tattvabhavaha. So here, tattvabhavaha. What is tattvabhavaha? Here, the existence of the truth is tattvabhavaha. How? Aham asmi. Aham brahma asmi. If there's a clear vision, when a person attains the jnanam, tattvabhavaha, the knowledge of existence of the truth must happen in the form of one's own self being the truth. Aham brahma asmi. So I, the self, am the truth. If that vision takes place, then there is the knowledge of the existence of the truth. You can't say Brahman is. Brahman is means you simply say it. You can have Brahman is, it can be knowledge. It is a knowledge, but still knowledge is not complete. There's no clear vision. Brahma asti iti, that knowledge should happen in terms of, in the form of aham brahma asmi. I am the truth. If that knowledge is there, then there is clear understanding of the existence of the truth. Tattva bhavaha. Only then that knowledge blesses a person. Tattva bhavaha prasidati. Asti ityeva upalabdhavyaha. Tattva bhavena cha ubhayoho. So here, what is asti iti upalabdhavyaha? Asti means exists. So it is all pervasive reality. That is looked upon as Ishvara, Paramatma. That Paramatma asti, Paramatma exists. Ishvaraha asti, Paramatma asti. First of all, the reality has to be understood, arrived at as Paramatma asti. That is how we have to, there is Paramatma, there is reality. If we don't even understand, believe, is there a reality? The doubt is there. How are you going to arrive at the reality? Before, and what that reality is, what that reality is, where is it available for understanding? To have all that knowledge, first of all, you must know, you must have the faith there is Paramatma. If all day I deny there is no Paramatma, there is no reality, there is just what I see is real, if we say, then there is no way of arriving at it. First of all, you must have that existence. You must have the understanding that there is reality. Brahma asti iti jnanam must be there. Then you can ask, oh, where is it available? How can I arrive at it? where is available for recognition? How can I understand it? Then you can make efforts. Then you can search for, then Shastram can help as a Pramanam. If there's no, first of all, there's no understand as there is reality, then there's no, you will not, there's no possibility of arriving at it. Therefore, it is said, Paramatma asti ityeva upalabdhavyaha. So Paramatma has to be arrived at first of all, that it is there. It is there. Then what happened? Tattva bhavena. Once there is understanding of the existence of Paramatma, then it is possible to make appropriate efforts, making use of the Shastram as the Pramanam, with the help of the teacher. Of course, when repeatedly listening and listening, by doing Shravanam, then Mananam, Nityasanam, Tattva Bhav, then you can arrive at the reality in terms of the clear vision as Aham Brahma Asmi. Brahma Asti Iti, first of all, you must have the Jnanam. That is Brahman. Is called what? Asti Iti Upalabdhavyaha. Afterwards, when you make appropriate efforts, then you arrive at the reality as Tattva Bhavena. As the as Brahman is, how? In the form of knowledge of one's own self. Aham Brahma Asmi. That's what is said. Paschat thereby, Tattva Bhavena cha Upalabdhavyaha. The two, first of all, the knowledge of existence of Brahman must be there. Then, what that Brahman is, that knowledge should happen as what? As one's own self. Knowledge of one's own self, which is Tattva Bhavaha. Isn't it? Asti iti upalabdhyavyaha, that is first knowledge. Then thereafter, that Brahman is none other than myself. That absolute reality is myself. Aham Brahma Asmi. That knowledge is possible. Knowledge of Brahman can happen as knowledge of one's own self. Then, only if a person makes efforts to discover the truth, first of all, accepting the fact that there is Brahman, only for him that knowledge blesses. Knowledge is possible. If I, without believing, without having the trust, without having the faith in the existence of the truth, if at all a person makes efforts to discover the truth, that knowledge will not bless him. That is the meaning, okay? Because it's very difficult. But why people lose in, people say, because Brahman is not available for perception, not experience, not available for objectification, not available for knowledge, not available, Brahman cannot be conceived, cannot be described, means there's no Pramanam can help you understand Brahman. If Brahman is not available for any Pramanam, which I can operate as an over, then people make a conclusion, the such a thing does not exist. That's when Taittiriya Upanishad, it is said, those who say this Brahman is not, they deny the existence of one's own self. Those accept the existence of Brahman alone, only for them, the self exists. Okay? It is actually they condemned in Taittiriya Upanishad, it is said. But it is because Brahman is not available for any Pramanam, it is not available even for Shabda Pramanam. Even the words cannot reveal Brahman. No word can reveal Brahman. And how can we say the Vedanta is Shabda Pramanam only? How can we say the Vedanta, words of Vedanta reveal Brahman? Words of Vedanta also do not reveal Brahman directly. They reveal Brahman by making you understand what Brahman is not. By making you understand what Atma is not, indirectly, through negation, they reveal Brahman. And the Vedanta has to be operated. One must have faith in the Vedanta Shastra as the Pramanam. One must make use of it, then Vedanta works. How? Through negation, it reveals Brahman. By stating what Brahman is not, by stating what Atma is not, Vedanta says Brahman, even though Brahman is all pervasive, Brahman is available for recognition as one's own self only, as very Swarupam of the Knower only. And for which, by stating that, Vedanta also says, what Atma is not, That is made clear by the Upanishad first. See, when this Drukti Shiveka is done, of course, it doesn't contradict your reasoning. You can easily understand. Definitely, known is nowhere is different from the known. Therefore, known is not the Atma. Anything known is not the knower. That is why different from the know. Knower is different from the known. This is how what the Atma is not is made very clear first. Thereby, it helps, Vedanta helps you arrive at what the Atma is. Through method negation, it implies. Is how Vedanta, words of Vedanta reveal Brahma Atma. But for that jnanam, for a person to enjoy the blessing of that jnanam, and the benefit of that knowledge, first of all, for knowledge to take place also, first of all, one must know that Brahman exists. Paramatma exists. There is asti. Asti iti upalabdhavyaha. One must, yes, there is Paramatma. There is absolute reality. There must be the source in which the universe exists. That one must know. Not simply. One must know. Once that knowledge is there, this is the knowledge of existence of Brahman, is there, Paramatma is there, then one can, how can I arrive at that Paramatma? How can I understand that Paramatma? How Paramatma is? Then the Upanishad helps. And through the Upanishad study, one can arrive at that Paramatma as one's own Swarupam. After having arrived at that Paramatma as one's own self, in the wake of the clear vision of that Paramatma, one can see how Paramatma alone is. Paramatma is first step. Aham that Paramatma, second understanding. And then once you understand Aham that Paramatma, light of one's own self being Paramatma, you can understand there is Paramatma alone is. There's no second thing other than Paramatma. The Advaita Jnanam. The second thing other than Paramatma. Why? You have to see Paramatma alone is means you have to see, understand Jagat being Mithya. The only Paramatma alone is Satyam. Jagat is Mithya. Isn't it? The two resolutions happen. What is? Jivatma Paramatma Swarupa Aikya Jnanam. It happen. Is possible. Which is Aikya Samanadhikaranyam, then Jagat, everything other than, there's nothing other than myself. All that is only Paramatma, which means you're equating matter to consciousness, which is Badhayam Samanadhikaranyam. Badhayam means you're negating the Jagat as Mithya. I and Paramatma are not two different things. Essentially, they're one and the same. This is Aikya Samanadhikaranyam. I am consciousness. Ishvara Paramatma is consciousness, which is the Brahma. Essentially, the only truth. The truth of Jiva and Ishvara is one and the same, which is Aikya Samanadhikaranyam. This Jnanam. Even then, the knowledge is not complete. First, this knowledge should take place. After that, you should see what? The whole Jagat is Brahma. Why? The objective universe. I and this. There are only two things. I am consciousness. I, the knower, am consciousness. What about this known? This known. This indicates the known. The third person singular pronoun, one pronoun, idam, stands for the entirety of the objective universe, including one's body, mind, and corpus. These are two pronouns, I and this. I, the knower, am consciousness. And what about this? Apart knower and the known. What about the known? The known is indicated by the word this. This also is Brahma. How we say this is Brahma means you're saying matter is consciousness. The known is also consciousness. Knower is consciousness. The known is also consciousness. The known matter is consciousness. The knower conscious being is, of course, consciousness. The known is consciousness. When you say, there is Badhayam Samanadhikaranyam, which means equating matter to consciousness is by negating matter as mithya, because it has no independent existence. Even though they are not one, this is what Advaita Advitiya. So Atma is Advaitaha, Atma is non-dual, Atma is Advitiya, secondless, Atma is one. Ekaha Advitiya Advaitaha. Or you can say Ekam Advitiyam Advaitam Brahma. Ekam Brahma, Atma, Brahman is one. Brahman is secondless, Advitiyam Brahma. Brahman is non-dual, it's non-dual, because you have to say that there's no second thing, there's nothing other than Brahma, nothing other than Paramatma. This is the understanding. Okay? Then knowledge, such knowledge alone, blesses a person with moksha. Tattva bhavaha prasidati. For which, for this jnanam to take place, all that is here is only Paramatma. For that jnanam, first of all, one has to have the jnanam, aham Brahma asmi. I the self am Brahman. That knowledge one must have. To have that knowledge, first of all, one must have the knowledge that there is Brahman. Brahman exists. Paramatma exists. Okay? Brahman asti iti jnanam, one must have. And I the knower am Brahma, that must happen. Then all that is there is only Brahma. That's the next step. Then knowledge blesses a person. Is it clear? This is what is actually said in this mantra. Asti teva upalabdhavyaha. First, there must be. Atma should be understood that it does exist. Then, tattva bhavena cha. Then there must be ubhayoho. Okay? Then, there must be knowledge of that Brahman, Atma as one's own self. Asti iti upalabdhavyasya tattva bhavaha prasidati. Only for such a person who accepts the existence of Brahman, only for him, the self-knowledge blesses. Self-knowledge happens. If it happens, it's a blessing. If self-knowledge happens, it's a blessing. Doesn't happen means there's no blessing. Blessing in the form of discovering one's own freedom, enjoying the benefit of that knowledge. Okay? This is the literal meaning of this mantra. So we'll go to the next mantra. If we complete the mantras first, then we can see the Bhashyam from the beginning. Next mantra. Now the question comes, if that clear vision takes place, okay, I do understand, first of all, if we understand there is Brahman exists, Paramatma asti. Once if existence of Paramatma is arrived at, there's no doubt, I see the universe, I see this universe, so there must be some cause. Even though there's Paramatma is not the cause, still that if it is there means that where has it come from? There must be something. There's knowledge involved. There's order involved. Everything is involved. So what is the source? Then just by seeing the world, I just make a conclusion that is Paramatma. Then how the Paramatma is, when you want to arrive at, Shastram helps you arrive at what Paramatma is. And you arrive at the Paramatma as your own self, then in the wake of that knowledge, you will understand the another fact that there's no second thing other than Paramatma. Isn't it? This vision will bless a person. If a person has this vision, what is the benefit? If at all a person arrives at this fact, all that is there is only Paramatma. Only in the second knowledge, okay? It is not enough if you arrive at Aham Brahma Asmi. Aham Brahma Asmi is fantastic. Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma. All that is here is only Brahma. All that is here is only Paramatma. Or you can use, okay, that Paramatma, that Brahman alone is Ishvara. All that is here is only Ishvara. Sarvam Vishnumayam Jagat, Sarvam Shivamayam Jagat. You can say whatever it is. It means everything is Ishvara. When that vision, that is the final vision, isn't it? When it takes place, what is the benefit? That vision should happen here in this Janma. in this world, when you're endowed with this human, physical, body, mind, and complex, it is possible to attain that jnanam. It is possible. If we are not able to attain, that's a different thing, isn't it? Our own pratibandhas and parabdha, pratibandhas are there. Our lack of preparedness, lack of enough adequate efforts. Maybe in spite of making efforts, something doesn't work means definitely the problem is with us, not with it Shastra. Okay? The vision is possible. If that vision happens, what is the benefit? In the wake of such vision, all that is there is only Ishvara. What is the benefit? That benefit is discussed in this 13th, the 14th mantra, which means that vision, one can resolve one's individuality in totality. This cognitively, individuality can be resolved in the vision of the totality. In resolving the individuality in totality, that is the fundamental problem centered on I becomes resolved. Because all the problems are centered on I only because of individuality. Only because of isolating oneself from the whole. This why there's isolation, why there's individuality, because all because of the lack of the vision of the truth. So in the wake of that vision, individuality will resolve. Resolving one's individuality cognitively because of knowledge in totality is ahankara nasha. We talk about ahankara nasha. Ahankara, you cannot destroy the ahankara. Ahankara must be there. Without ahankara, no knowledge is possible, isn't it? So ahankara is a blessing in disguise. Because of your knowledge of self-existence, you are eligible to discover what you are. So it is ahankara nasha does not happen physically. Ahankara nasha is nothing but seeing the fact of all that is here is only Paramatma. Irpadallam Irevane, that vision must become very clear, then there is no ahankara. Where am I? There's neither I nor this. There's neither I nor this. If not, this is not here means you are not there, he is not there, she is not there, it is not there. All that is, it is only Paramatma. Only then you can see everything is Bhagavan's glory also. Everything is Bhagavan's vibhuti. Everything is Paramatma. This must happen. That is when this is what is called ahankara tyagaha, ahankara nashaha. There's no other way of resolving essence. There's no other way of dedicating self. It's called atma nivedanam, atma samarpanam, atma arpanam. Isn't it? There's no I. There's only Paramatma. There's no this. There's neither I nor this. This I and this, of course, exist relatively, objectively, empirically, isn't it? Absolutely, there's neither I nor this. Absolutely, there's neither I nor this. This duality becomes resolved in the vision of the non-dual reality. Why? What is there's only Brahma, only Paramatma. So, Advaita Darshane Dvaitasya Vishatyagaha. Dvaita Tyagaha, Dvaita Upashamaha. Resolution of Dvaitam cognitively happens in a clear vision of the non-duality of the reality. It is not physically, you are not undoing anything here. You can never deny the experience of duality. Of course, experience of duality will always be there. Duality will be there, continues to be there. But intellectually, cognitively, you are seeing duality being mithya. That is what is said to be Advaita Darshane Dvaitasya Upashamaha. In the vision of the unduality of the reality, there's cognitive resolution of Dvaita. So this is Ahankara Nashaha. Ahankara Nasha, Ahankara Tyaga. Okay, this must happen. This is possible. This is what is said to be Jivan Muktihi. What is Jivan Muktihi? Being free while living. Nane illaina. Then Yanak, if I am not here, I cannot be there. I have this problem, is not possible. if you see that you yourself are not there. Absolutely. It is something very, very profound, very, very subtle. But we do, in spite of listening all the time, also still very strong I sense is there. So I am, then I have, I suffer, all these are inevitable. Isn't it? So this is what in Pujya Swamiji's expression, I can never forget. Arakku is such a small, tiny measure. Arakku in Tamil. And so Varakkela Karakku Merka Parkade, which means Arakku is such a tiny measure. There you can't look for which is south, southern direction, which is eastern direction, western direction. Isn't it? You yourself are not there. Then how can you say, I have problem? When you, Shastra says, you are not there, only Paramatma is there. You say, I am here, I am here. You are not there. Then how can you say, I have problem? It's also said in a simple other, in Tamil, we have very simple example. We say, Yelele ukarana, Pantile ukarana, yella watana. You are not even asked to sit in a pangti, in a, the place where people serve food. And asked even, you're not asked to sit there. But what do you say? Oh, this, look at this banana leaf as a hole. If you're asked to sit there, then you can talk about the banana leaf. And this has a hole. I can't use this. Please give a different half. When they're not even asked, invited to sit and eat, why do you talk about the food? In a hole in the banana leaf? How can you talk about it? In the same way, when you are not even here, all that is only Paramatma, there is no I absolutely. It's only relative. I is relative. This is relative. What is absolute? That alone is absolute. Isha is absolute. All that is there is only Paramatma. Then if you say that is relative, relative means mithya. And all your problems are also mithya. They're not real. But you take your problems to be very real. That is why it is not tolerable. That is why it's a suffering, isn't it? It's all because of the erroneous perception, because of wrong notions you have about yourself, not knowing what the truth is, what the fact is. But that vision is possible, and here itself, that is called Jivan Muktihi. What is Jivan Muktihi here? Here itself, seeing this aham being mithya, this idam being mithya. There's no absolutely I sense. There's no I sense is not absolute. This is also not absolute. And what is absolute? The source of the manifestation of I is absolute. The source of manifestation of I, this is absolute. That alone is absolute. That is what is permanent. That is free from everything. So that one has to see one's own self essentially being that. In the wake of the vision, one has to see this being that. This also is that. This is aham, I am this, I am that, this is that. All that is here is only that. Sarvam kalvidam brahma. This vision is there in spite of being an individual, in spite of having the perception of duality, still one can enjoy freedom. That freedom is called Jivan Muktihi, freedom while living. That is, Jivan Muktihi, the possibility of Jivan Muktihi is revealed in this 14th mantra. Why Upanishad has to talk? And Shankaracharya is very happy to write commentary on such mantras. You know why? Because he has to refute other people who have their different ideas. And there are people, even people, Vaidikas, who accept Vedanta Shastra, Veda Shastram as the Pramanam. They're also Vaidikas. Of course, they're also great people, not ordinary people, great thinkers, great well-wishers of the society. Why all the Vaidikas, Acharyas enjoy the fame? Why still they're revered? Because all of them are well-wishers of the world. All of them accept Dharma. They say we have to live our lives without disturbing the universal order. Madhvacharya says that, Ramacharya says that we all have to live our lives without disturbing the universal order. Only then we can have Bhagavan's grace. Only then we can be peaceful. We can contribute for sustaining universal harmony. Because of this their emphasis on Dharma, all Mahatmas enjoy their Mahatmyam, greatness. They revered, so many big following. Every acharya has big following. But when you don't want to compromise with the ultimate fact, we have to say that there is a certain limitation in their understanding. So they are hold on to the thing. They say, no, jivan mukti is not at all possible. It is not possible for a person to enjoy freedom while living. One has to attain only videha mukti. Only after leaving the body, moksha can be attained. Which means to have videha mukti, to not assume the body. Again, they say, okay, videha mukti means that you have to go to higher lokas, tap Bhagavan's grace, go to higher lokas, and there you have to attain moksha. Rama mukti, videha mukti. You don't talk about that mukti. They deny this. Which means you have to wait for the moksha to leave the physical body. Isn't it? So, but here Shankaracharya, when he comments upon this particular mantra, he says, no, jivan mukti is possible in this very life itself, provided you have this understanding, clear vision. Yes. Where is this? Is it absolute? Is this universe absolute? If it is absolute, the universe must enjoy its own independent existence. Even when you do not see the universe must be there for you. If you close your eyes, if you close your sense organs, if your mind becomes, non-functional, this universe disappears for you. The universe doesn't exist for you. It means it is absolutely for you, this universe doesn't exist. This universe enjoys status of being existent only when you perceive, for you. Not for others. Don't think of others. We are not interested in others. The problem is centered on I. For me, the world becomes a source of, I look at the world as something responsible for my unhappiness. I look at the world, I mistake the world to be a source of happiness also, only when this world enjoys the status of being existent, for which it is dependent on my seeing, my knowing it. Therefore, the world is not absolute. The world is only relative. Why? When I am knowing my own existence as I am, then the world also is. Jagat asti, jagat bhati. If I remain not knowing my own existence, the world also doesn't exist. Okay, therefore, you see, therefore the world is. You know, therefore the world is. Not because you see the world, because the world is. Not because the world is, because you know the world, because the world is. No, other way around. That's why the world is relative only. Unfortunately, we mistake the relative world to be absolutely real world. Relatively real world. That's why it is not tucham. The world is neither tucham nor is it satyam. It is absolute. It's neither real nor unreal. That is why we say it is mithya. World is enjoying dependent existence. So relatively it is there. What is relative should be seen as relative. What is empirically real should be seen as empirically real world. But it is mistaken to be absolutely real world. That is why samsara. Isn't it? That's because you do not know you are absolutely real, essentially. That is why there's no way of resolving the world as mithya without taking ownership of your own nature, what you are essentially. So, Atma Jnanam should happen. Then, Brahma Jnan, complete, all that is only Brahma becomes very clear. For which, first of all, you must have what? Asti Iti Jnanam. There must be knowledge that Brahman exists. The atheists can never understand. They'll be searching for something else. They'll try to prove, they try to prove something by searching within the material world, which is Ajnanam. Your atheist will be a failure. Absolutely. Anyway, so here, definitely, jivan mukti is possible, that vision is possible in this life itself. Look at this now. Yada sarve pramuchyante. Yada sarve pramuchyante kamaha. When I'm reading, the kama, the visarga, is be stopped because of sandhi. Yada sarve pramuchyante kama yesya hridi shritaha. Yada sarve pramuchyante kama yesya hridi shritaha. Yada sarve pramuchyante kama yesya hridi shritaha. Atha martyo mruto bhavatyatra brahma samashnute. 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 He said, so what happens when a person discovers one's own essential nature being Brahma? What happens when a person discovers, distinguishes oneself as the knower from the known body, mind, sense complex? When a person thereby includes one's body, mind, sense complex in the objective universe, and when he arrives, having distinguished the knower, oneself as the knower, when a person stumbles upon the very abstract reality as one's own self, then what happens? He does not see one's own self as an individual jiva anymore. He sees one's own self as the truth of the whole. Then what happens? That is what he said. Yada sarve kamaha ye asya hridishritaha. So here, sarve kamaha, all desires means all forms of ragadveshas. Desires stand for all ragadveshas, likes and dislikes. And where are the likes and dislikes? Hridishritaha, in one's own mind. The word hridi in this context means mind only. All desires obtaining in one's mind, which is within one's physical heart. Okay. Literally, hridi means heart. But sometimes the word hridi is used in the sense of physical heart, and it's used in the sense, it implied meaning as the mind also. The desires do rise in the form of thoughts. Desires are in the form of likes and dislikes. They do rise only in the form of thoughts in one's own mind, which is not outside of the physical heart. Okay. So desires rise in the mind. Hridishritaha sarve kamaha. Manadile irikkindra udikkindra anitta aasehalum. All forms of desires, all desires, any desire, all ragadveshas, which rise in one's own mind. It obtain in one's own mind. Okay. Hridishritaha sarve kamaha. Yada pramuchyante. When all those desires resolve, pramuchyante means all those desires drop or fall or resolve. Pramuchyante means which become free. This is pramuchyante means desires fall and drop. How do desires drop? Desires will drop only when a person revels in the vision of fullness of happiness. Nerevil telekindra podudan asegal veedum. One must become free from the sense of inadequacy centered on I. There must be sense of inadequacy centered on I must be, one must free from. How long? The sense of inadequacy centered on I am inadequate, that notion should resolve. The sense of inadequacy centered on I, sense of smallness centered on I, sense of limitation centered on I will resolve only when a person discovers one's own nature being fullness, happiness. When I sense is shifted from anatma, body, man sense complex, I sense is resolved cognitively in Atma, the consciousness. That is when the sense of the fundamental problem centered on I will resolve. As long as the identities with Anatma, body, mind, sense complex, there will be fundamental problem of sense of smallness, sense of inadequacy, sense of insecurity centered on I. So when in the wake of the jnanam, when identity is cognitively shifted from anatma to atma, the fundamental problem will resolve. Then when a person claims fullness, happiness, limitlessness as one's own nature, having identity with consciousness, atma, brahma, then when the fundamental problem of sense of inadequacy centered on I is resolved, then naturally, effortlessly, all the raga dveshas will resolve. All the desires will resolve. Because desire itself, desire is a symptom, expression of the symptom of the fundamental problem of sense of inadequacy centered on I. Kurayin velipadudan ase. When nirevu is there, there's no kurai, then naturally the desires resolve. So that's why we can never push the desire away. We can manage the desires. Okay, with commitment to dharma, we can manage desires. With our polished nature, we can manage desires. Okay, we can leave them without getting them fulfilled. But still inside there'll be some itching. Externally we may look very polished, but there'll be disturbance. The desires may be disturbing you, even if you don't fulfill them. So desires are expressions of the symptoms of the disease of sense of the fundamental problem of sense of inadequacy centered on I. Within the wake of jnanam, there cannot be fundamental problem will be resolved. Therefore, desires will resolve along with the cause. It's called yada, when sarve kamaha hridishritaha, all the desires which rise in the mind, which remain on the heart, resolve. Pramuchyante. Then what happens? Desires resolve means resolution of desires, even though the mantra says only desires resolve. Okay, desires resolve means anger will resolve. Desires resolve means not only kamaha pramuchyante, you know, krodaha pramuchyate. They would definitely, the anger also will fall. Anger also will drop. Once anger goes, naturally, other jealousy, hatred, fear will resolve first of all. Fear will go, hatred will resolve, jealousy will resolve, all these unwanted emotions will resolve. And all of them resolve. All will resolve. Then what will be there? Peace. Then there'll be peace only. When anything is there, there'll be disturbance. There'll be peace. Shanti. Isn't it? Then what have that is when Atha Martyaha Amrutaha Bhavati. That is when. Martyaha, mortal being, becomes immortal. So he not physically does not become immortal. Okay, cognitively, intellectually, a person becomes immortal, which means as soon as the essence is shifted from anatma to atma, atma is immortal, therefore he does not become immortal. He claims immortality as his own nature. One can claim immortality as one's own nature. Is claiming immortality, timelessness as one's own nature, is what mortal becoming an immortal. That is how you can become immortal. Mortal becoming immortal. So, matyaha amrutaha bhavati. Then what happened? Atra brahma samashnute. Brahma samashnute means he then takes Brahman, he claims Brahman as one's own self. See, claiming, taking consciousness as one's own self, claiming abstract formless reality as one's own self is what? Attaining Brahman, cognitively attaining Brahman. Brahma Samashnute. This is not, isn't it? This is how one can attain Brahma. When? You must have a body for that. Why? Mind must be functional. Without your mind is not functional, how can you attain jnanam? That's why jivan muktihi one must have. Because knowledge has to be attained in this body, when you're living in this world. When this body is alive, only then mind can be functional. Only then intellect can be functional. Jnanam is possible. Once you leave the physical body, mind becomes non-functional. You will be like in sleep. How can you attain jnanam? So jnanam takes place in this life means freedom also you discover simultaneously as jnanam. Knowledge and moksha are identical. Jnanam can be attained only when you are in this body, mind, sense complex, when the mind is functional, intellect is functional. Therefore, moksha is what jivan mukti one has to have videha mukti also. When parabdha karma gets exhausted, when you have to quit this physical body, choicelessly, again, choicelessly, you have to quit. Let me wait for some time, at least some time, only a few more days. You know, the grandmother stayed for two grandsons' marriage. The granddaughter's marriage is coming up, but she's sick. There's no possibility. You can't wait. If this ordinance has to happen, if it doesn't happen, well and good. What I'm saying is not, there's this choicelessly, one has to quit this physical body. When Parabdha exhausts, then hacha jivan muktaha, there's, for him, there's no possibility of returning. Returning is possible. Returning means again becoming manifest as jiva is possible only if there is a manifesting medium, the mind. The mind will be resolved for a jnani. Body becomes disintegrated for any ajnani or a jnani. For a jnani's mind will be resolved. So mind is not there because desires are not there. See, no emotions rise means mind is not there. I sense becomes resolved in the truth. Therefore, idam knowledge cannot rise. I am, that knowledge must be there. That manifestation must happen in the mind. Only then mind can survive. Only then this world is knowledge is possible. Then other emotions are also possible. So mind will be resolved if Atma Jnanam takes place. Manadai Aripadi Yapadi. People ask this question, what is Mano Nashaha? Mano Ahankara Nasha is Mano Nasha. How can we destroy the mind? See, mind can never be destroyed, even though mind is the subtlest matter. In fact, consciousness can never destroy anything matter. Matter also cannot destroy the consciousness. Why? Matter is consciousness, therefore consciousness cannot destroy the matter. Matter is consciousness, therefore matter cannot destroy consciousness. Understand now? Therefore, there's no destruction as such. Only change is inevitable on the part of the matter. Even for the change to happen on the part of the matter also, matter is dependent on consciousness for its very existence. Finally, you can reduce everything to these two factors only. The two have been reduced as one. Reduced to one. It is purely cognitive, isn't it? You can't physically, you're not doing anything here. Therefore, the mind cannot be destroyed. And what is that which helps this human unique mind? Human minds are very unique, very special. It's very special, isn't it? Because this is the only instrument where there's knowledge of self-existence manifests. Nowhere. The human heart is like the heart in any other living creature. Human, okay, other limbs, all of the organs which are functional, they're all like as good as any other limbs in any other living creature. Even though we're, you know, there's a horizontal or vertical, doesn't matter. All the organs are like any other, like in any other animals. This is just the knowledge. which makes them function with some backed by some order. But special is what? The human intellect. Where jnanam, the knowledge of self-existence, manifests, rises only in human intellect. That is why that human mind, okay, there's no way of undoing it. If we can undo the minds, then we all would have been disturbed. That's why I told you long ago the stories. You know, even though physically Hindus were destroyed, still they came back because the minds, the same samskara, the same anger, same, you know, everything come back. So also all human beings like that. We cannot undo, nobody can undo any mind. Whether Christian, they're all samskaras, isn't it? Minds cannot be destroyed at all. The same minds, the same samskaras will come back again and again and again, struggling and not being able to get rid of. There's no way of undoing. That is why it's very important to, when we are living this life, we have to take care of your mind, see that you have good samskaras, good vasanas. Very important. You fill the more and more you fill the good vasanas, good samskaras, by involving yourself in good things, then what happens? The bad will come out. The bad will slowly get it off. There's no way of undoing it totally. The only way you can undo the mind, only by discovering the truth of the mind. If you know what this mind is, the mind is consciousness. Consciousness is not the mind. The truth of the mind, truth of every thought which arises, truth of knowledge, truth of enthusiasm, truth of jealousy, truth of hatred, truth of every thought modification, truth of every thought is truth of the mind. The truth of the mind, if you discover, mind is resolved. And the truth of the mind can be arrived at only as the truth of I. Why? I, the first person, which you say, single pronoun, the I thought, I cognition, the first and the foremost of the thoughts, without which no other thought can arise. The non-engindra, yenner, that I thought, I cognition, where does it rise? Where does it take? If you discover, then you, the truth of all the thoughts is discovered as it were. Then mind will be resolved. That is why, in the wake of the Atma Jnanam, an ascertained vision, the mind becomes resolved. The thoughts become resolved. Which means, as long as Parabdha is there, then still mind continues to survive. Mind will not leave the physical body. But with Parabdha, nobody can escape. Even as a Jnani, but without suffering, objectively, one can live one. With objectivity, a jnani lives. So he's not affected by the parabdha karma. So parabdha has to be exhausted. When the parabdha karma gets exhausted, that is when mind can quit. You cannot quit, force the mind to quit the body. Even, okay, mind quits when the parabdha karma exhausts. When the mind goes, and that mind, if a jnani is an enlightened mind, is the mind of a jnani will resolve. Will not come back. Ajnani's mind will come back. Why? Ajnanam is there. Parabdha is exhausted. Sanchitam is big load is there. Agami also has joined Panchitam. The next set of Parabdha will be ready and he will be born accordingly. Understand? Therefore, what it is said, Mrityaha Amrutaha Bhavati. A mortal human being, as a human being, enjoys the highest, accomplishes the highest goal of taking ownership of immortality as his own nature, discovers that the highest discovery, greatest discovery. Thereby what happens? He becomes immortal. That is how he becomes Brahma. He attains Brahma. Cognitive attainment of Brahma. Okay. Yada sarve प्रमुच्यन्ते कामायेस्य हृदि श्रिताः अथ मर्त्यो मृतो भवति अत्र ब्रह्म समश्नुते अनि ब्रेक इट अथ मर्त्यः अमृतः भवति अथ मर्त्यो मृतो भवत्यत्र ब्रह्म समश्नुते Which is the prosody? It's simple. It's a nice sloka. This there's no mantra is good. Not many words are not the ambiguity here. Yada sarve kamaha ye kamaha asya hridishritaha ye sarve kamaha asya hridishritaha pramuchyante yada atha martyaha amrutaha bhavati. अत्र ब्रह्म समश्नुते सो बिकॉज वी आर नॉट डूइंग द भाष्यम येट वी इन फैक्ट वी कैन वी व्हेन यू डू भाष्य वी कैन अंडरस्टैंड हाउ दिस इज द एक्चुअल विजन नाउ व्हाट एवर व्यू अदर फिलोसोफर हैज ऑल द व्यूज बिकम रेजोनेटेड हियर वेदर व्यूज ऑफ डिफरेंट स्कूल्स ऑफ थॉट All become negated. Okay, we'll go to the next mantra. Anyway, we're going to do the Bhashyam from the beginning. It's almost time now. Again, then the next mantra also, how all the desires become resolved for good. How does a person become free from the hold off the phenomenon called desire for good. Other people teach, give up desires. Give up desires. Desire is the root cause of your suffering. Others teach. Vedanta does not say desire is the root cause of the problems. Okay? Desire, of course, causes problems. Desire itself is a problem. Desire does not cause the problem. Desire does not become the cause for the problem, suffering. This itself is a problem. But it is not wrong to have desires. It is natural to have desires. But why desires are, how desires are, and how desires can be resolved. This is how Vedanta teaches. See the difference now? You are never asked to give up desires. Because you are not the owner of desires, creator of desires. Okay? You are just, desires are part of you. Your body is you, desires are you, sense organs are you. You are not anything. All of them are you. See, there's not created. But what is this phenomenon? Something natural. Desire is a phenomenon. It's a natural phenomenon. How desire arises? Why desire arises? What really contributes for the rising of the desire? And how they can be resolved. Shastram teaches why they should be managed, how they can be managed, why they should be managed, and how they can be resolved for good. How one can free oneself from the hold of desires. Isn't it? So that is, he said, Yada sarve prabhidyante. I'll stop with this mantra today. So we'll continue, you know, tomorrow also we'll finish it. So we can start from the beginning the bhashyam properly. Yada sarve prabhidyante hridayasyeha granthayah. Yada sarve prabhidyante hridayasyeha granthayah. अथ मर्त्यो मृतो भवत्येतावध्यनुशासनम् I'm reading without breaking the mantra. अथ मर्त्यो मृतो भवत्येतावध्यनुशासनम् यदा सर्वे प्रभिद्यन्ते हृदयस्येह ग्रन्थयः अथ मर्त्यो मृतो भवत्येतावध्यनुशासनम् यदा सर्वे प्रभिद्यन्ते हृदयस्येह ग्रन्थयः अथ मर्त्यो मृतो भवत्येतावध्यनुशासनम् We break it. Yada sarve prabhidyante. So prabhidyante. Prabhidyante means break. Prabhidyante, break. Okay? Bhinati, prabhidyante, when all broken. Prabhidyante are broken. See, bhidyante means are broken. Pra is a prefix. Prakarshena bhidyante. When totally broken. Completely broken. Completely broken means when they are completely made powerless. When completely destroyed. Totally destroyed. Prakarshena bhidyante. What are destroyed here? Hridayasya granthayaha. Granthihi means not. Granthayaha knots. Granthihi not. Granthayaha knots. Hridayasya granthayaha. Knots of the heart. Iha. Here, in this world, when you're alive, when the knots of the heart are broken totally, the knots of the heart are broken totally. Yada sarve hridayasya granthayaha iha bidyante atha, then that is when martyaha amrutaha bhavati. That is when a mortal individual being becomes an immortal Brahma. Mortal individual being means what? He resolves his jiva status. That is, the jiva is no more, when a person discovers he is no more a jiva, but he is absolutely a Brahma. He discovers that. Martyaha amrutaha bhavati. Mortal becomes immortal. Yetavad hi anushasanam. Etavadhi anushasanam. See, shasti. Na shas is the dhatu. Shasti governs. Anushasti instructs, teaches. Anushasanam is a gerund now. Anushasanam is a gerund. So, etavad, this much indeed is the teaching. There's no more teaching. There's no teaching more than this. இதற்கு மேல ஒரு படிப்பினை இல்லை. There is no more teaching. This much alone is the teaching. How can the whole effort for on the part of a human being is to free himself from this bondage of samsara, which is being subject to death again and again and again. So having to become subject to death again and again and again helplessly is being a mortal. Being a mortal means what? Having to become subject to death repeatedly, endlessly, is being a mortal. And becoming immortal means what? Just distinguishing himself from the anatma body maintenance complex, and thereby discovering one's own essential nature, taking ownership of the immortal reality as one's own self, is becoming immortal. Isn't it? So, this person mortal becomes immortal. This is the teaching. This is indeed the teaching. How? When all the knots of the heart resolve for good. When the knots of the heart become broken for good. Totally. In this life, a person becomes immortal. So having the knots of the heart broken for good totally means having all the thoughts resolved, especially, you can say, raga dveshas, anger, kama and krodha. Kamaha alone is mentioned. Kama, krodha, then you can include all other, okay, impurities, mental impurities become resolved. And for all of them to resolve, what is it? What is the root cause of all of them? We know Ajnanam, Adhyasaha, Asha, isn't it? Ajnanam, Adhyasaha, isn't it? Then Ahankara, wrong notions. So, first of all, Ajnanam has to be resolved. If Ajnanam becomes resolved, the fundamental problem, the root cause of the fundamental problem is Ajnanam. Ignorance is resolved in the wake of the Jnanam. The fundamental problem caused by Ajnanam will resolve. The fundamental problem resolves. Fundamental problem of sense of inadequacy, sense of insecurity, sense of smallness. Since then I becomes resolved, all the impurities caused by fundamental problem will become resolved for good. This is how Hridaya Granthihi, the knots of the heart, can be broken for good. And only in the wake of the Jnanam. When that is knotted, the knots of the heart broken for good means the mind cannot survive after the Parabdha is exhausted. Mind will resolve. How to resolve the mind? How to destroy the mind? How to resolve the mind? How can I have my mind resolved for good that it cannot again surface? You don't need to do anything. Discover the truth of the mind. In terms of truth of yourself, mind will resolve. All of them will resolve. That is how a person becomes immortal. Martyaha Amrutaha Bhavati. So this is the lesson. Yada sarve prabhidyante hridayasyeha granthayaha atha martyo mruto bhavatyeta vadhyanushasanam. That's why all the disputes simultaneously have to be resolved. That's why there's no way of giving up desires, undoing desires, destroying desires. After all, if you are committed to dharma, committed to live a life of dharma, you can only manage your desires, handle. Desires implies you can manage your thoughts, manage your emotions, anger, etc. Otherwise, completely, you will become slave of your desires, slave of your emotions. Then you will be going against dharma and you will be ruining your mind. Then you yourself become enemy. Your own mind becomes your enemy. Bhagavad Gita, it said in Bhagavad Gita, Atmanaha Atma Eva Ripuhu. Atmanaha Atma Eva Bandhu. You manage your mind, you manage your thoughts, you know, being committed to dharma, then your own mind becomes your friend. If you don't manage, if you are enslaved by your thoughts, then it becomes your enemy, isn't it? So after all, commitment to live a life of dharma can only help you manage the mind. There's no way of undoing the mind, resolving the mind. There's no way of undoing your thoughts. There's no way of getting your knots of the heart broken, isn't it? Without jnanam. That's why jnanam sharanam gacchami. Knowledge is the only way. Once in the wake of the jnanam, the thoughts resolve means naturally, slowly, you can see even now, the older you grow, more dispassionate you become, the more desires resolve. You can see now how we were when we are young, how we are now. You can see how desires have gone now. Because the more you understand the limitations of everything. Oh my God, there was a time you were craving for certain things. Now you're grown out of those things. You can see how you are just, Radhaji was saying, I don't miss London anymore. That is Vairagyam, isn't it? I don't miss London anymore, this is Vairagyam. That is the result of having lived a clean life, isn't it? You must live your life. I have seen what is living in London means. That's much, that's all. What is that big deal? What is there? What am I losing by not living there? Nothing. Nothing is lost. If you lose yourself, you have lost everything. If you lost something, nothing has been lost. Isn't it? What I'm saying, this is that vairagyam to have. It's not easy job, isn't it? See here. That's why mind, there's no way of undoing it. Only in the jnana, because of jnanam, mind can be sorted out. Hriday Granthi simply say, all this not, because not one thing, not easy. You may not have decided for something, but something, some other decision may be there. The total passion for jnanam alone will help you discover dispassion towards everything else. That is the only way you can grow out of desire for everything else. Once the jnanam is attained, then there won't be desire at all for anything else. Isn't it? That the passion for jnanam will help you have dispassion towards everything else. Once this jnanam becomes attained, that passion for jnanam also becomes resolved. Then you are free from the hold of desires. Because there will be sense of fulfillment. In the wake of the jnanam, there will be sense of fulfillment. Isn't it? That is why. Sense of fulfillment. So, a sense of fulfillment is there. There's this satisfaction is there. Then everything will resolve. Effortlessly. When the desire is resolved, all the emotions will easily resolve. The desire is the culprit, okay? Desire. Why desire alone is mentioned here? If desire is not there, desire resolves for good. Ragadveshas become resolved for good. Means, you don't need to make any effort to drive, chase away anger, jealousy, hatred, anxiety. They all become resolved. Kundodu kailasam. Okay? They all go simultaneously together. Very beautiful. In Tamil, what of expressions we have never understood the in-depth meaning of what is meant. All of them go together. Go together. You don't need to chase one by one. Oh, first I had to work very hard to get rid of desire. Then I had to work very hard then to get rid of anger. I had to work very hard again to get rid of, you know, jealousy. No. It's all because of the fundamental problem. His own, I tell you, Pujya Swamiji, in his basic introductory talks, he makes this very clear. That any teaching you do, any amount of teaching you do, you have to mention this, you have to bring this to light. Because the problem is not centered on anywhere else. Problem is centered on I. That is why this, that's all in the mind, isn't it? So that is why all the efforts must be to manage your emotions, sometimes desire, etc., by committing yourself to dharma, for which you need to be prayerful and worshipful. Then once you're able to manage, then making use of that, you know, that capacity to manage, then you will work for jnanam, attain jnanam, and have it resolved for good. There's only way. Manage, then resolve. No resolve. That is how you can resolve the desires for good. Otherwise, there's no way of resolving. We'll see again in the next class. It's all right? Okay. Because tomorrow we'll see. We have a few more verses, mantras to be finished. Then we'll start. We're going to redo the whole text again from the beginning with the Bhashyam. Okay, now at least you must know how to read your mantras correctly, properly, and all that. Okay. Om Purnamadav Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya.